Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. May we discover this morning the pathways to happiness. May you give us ears to hear, hearts that are open and receptive to the preaching of your word. It is your word, so help us to hear. Help us to respond accordingly so that we may truly be blessed, be happy. And it's in Christ's great name we pray. Amen. As I was preparing for today's message, I couldn't help but think, probably within the last year, one of our parishioners asked me, that's Greg, he was doing a paper for YSU and he wanted to interview somebody who became a Christian and wanted to talk about my conversion. And he said, he asked me the question, how has your life changed since becoming a Christian? Certain desires, appetites, ambitions, what's different? And there's many things that have changed, but there's one thing that really hasn't changed, and that's my desire to be happy. I desire to be happy. The main difference is where I would find true happiness, true blessedness. Where is it that we can find ultimate hope or ultimate meaning, ultimate pleasure and ultimate satisfaction? Where is it that we find ultimate freedom? And I find that it's in Christ and in Him alone. And so, in one sense, there is still a deep desire to be happy. The reality is that the biggest difference in my life is I realize that it is found in Christ alone. The title of this morning's message is The Pathway to Happiness, and we'll be looking at Psalm 1. It's the pathway of happiness. We just entered exited the holiday season. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. To some degree, I suppose you guys wished people a Happy New Year. You wanted them to have a happy and prosperous New Year. Well, my hope for you this morning is that you will have a Happy New Year, but more than just a Happy New Year, a happy rest of your life. Matter of fact, throughout all eternity. So, as we look at Psalm 1, just a few things that I would point out. This psalm's going to talk about two kinds of people, the righteous and the wicked. There's two different pathways, and there's two destinations. So let's take a look at Psalm 1, and we'll look at each verse and then proceed from there. How blessed is the man. And we're going to stop right there at the idea of blessed. We should be drawn in right away by that word blessed. Do you want to be happy today? Do you want to be happy for the rest of your life? He says, how blessed. And so what does this word blessed mean? It's used 26 times in the book of Psalms, and I'm sure you guys could go home and look up blessed in your dictionaries, but you won't need to. I want to look at how does the scriptures, especially the book of Psalms, how does it look at the word blessed? Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, it goes like this: blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. So the psalmist here is saying, the blessed one, their transgressions are forgiven. Their sins are covered. God is not counting your iniquity against you. For that individual, they truly ought to be happy. They ought to be realize the blessedness. How about Psalm 34:8? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man who takes refuge in Him. The happy one is the one who finds God to be their refuge. They see in Him one who is beautiful, tastes good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The happy one is one who finds their delight in Him. That's the blessed individual. Psalm 65:4. He talks about the blessed one or the happy one in this way. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. The blessed one here, the happy one here, is the one who finds deep satisfaction in Him. The blessed one here is the one that is brought near to God. That really is the blessed life, the happy life. Psalm 89:15. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face. The idea of the light of His face, it's the countenance, it's the smile of God. You have favor with Him. You've received mercy and grace from Him, and you walk before Him with a big smile from God. He delights in you. That's what it means to be happy or blessed. It's not some superficial feeling. It's not something that depends simply based on the happenings. It's something that's deep, and it's deeply found in Him. Well, verse 1 does tell us what you don't want to do if you're trying to be happy. This is what not to do. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. And in this verse, you're going to find out the blessed man, his movement doesn't correspond to the movement you see here. You'll see three triplets: walk, stand, sit, counsel, way, seat, and wicked, sinners, scoffers. And the movement I think that you'll see is one from a person being influenced to becoming one who influences others. One who is being influenced, notice it says, walk in the counsel of the wicked. They're receiving advice. They may be curious. They may give consideration to the counsel or advice they receive from the wicked. Wicked just is the generic term for evil. And they seem to have this curiosity, consideration. And the psalmist here is saying, you're not going to find happiness here. And notice where the movement goes. It goes from one who is walking in that advice or counsel to one who's a little more deeply positioned in it. They do not stand in the way of sinners. You're hanging out a little bit longer. You're standing right there in the pathway. You're influenced deeper and deeper, all the way to the point where it says, sitting or being sitting in the seat of scoffers. You go from being that person who was influenced to joining their ranks. You're the influencer. You mock the things of God. You ridicule them. You brag over your sin. And he says, you will never find happiness here. So the blessed man The truly happy person does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor do they stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Verse 2. And it's the key to the whole text. It's really where you do find the pathway to happiness. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. See, the truly happy one, or the blessed one, has deep passions. They have deep desires and delight, but they find it in God and in him alone. Notice what it does say. They delight in the law of the Lord. This word law is the word Torah, and used throughout the scriptures, and you can see it many times in the Old and the New Testament. It means more than just the Ten Commandments, or more than just commandments. It would be equivalent to saying scripture. Their delight is in God's Word, because it's in God's Word that we see God reveal himself, who he is, and all that he's done. And we understand his purposes and his ways. So the one who delights in the law is one who delights in God's word. And he meditates on it day and night. We meditate on God's word. Let's look at the word meditate. We're not talking about Eastern meditation here. The idea of just emptying yourself. Get everything out. It's more, it carries more the idea of that you're filling yourself with something, and that is God's word, to be sure. We're all very good at meditating. You may say, I don't meditate very well, but we actually do. We're actually quite good at meditating. Think about the last time you were worried or anxious. You couldn't help but think about it. How can I get out of this? What can I do differently? Anxiety is a form of meditation. Your mind is fixed right there. Revenge fantasies. Anybody ever have those? No, you guys are too good, right? Revenge fantasies. Man, how can I plot to get back at this person? You can think that, and it can saturate your mind. Fantasy itself. So we're actually a lot better at meditating than what we might think. We are actually very good at meditating. It's the psalmist here is saying, you delight in his word and you meditate on it day and night. Those other forms of meditation, it's going to be vain. And we're going to see that in Psalm 2 very shortly. It is interesting, when I say very shortly, it is right now. Turn over just one page in your Bible to Psalm 2, because it's the same word used for meditation. It's just translated a little bit differently. Let's listen to Psalm 2. Why are the nations in an uproar and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear the fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy hill. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give you the nations of your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possessions. You shall break them with rods of iron, you shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are those who take refuge in him. At the early part of that psalm, it's talking about those who do this vain thing. They plot against the Lord. It's the same word. Those who are plotting, they're whispering, they're murmuring, muttering, they're thinking and contemplating. It's the idea of meditating. Now, in their case, it's vanity. It's vain. It's an empty thing. But we're all much better at meditating than what we would naturally think. And God's word here is saying that the truly blessed person is the one who delights in God's law, His word, the scriptures. They meditate on them day and night. For it's in God's word that you see a glorious God and Savior. Your hearts, your eyes are open to true delight. One that's not fleeting, it's not temporal, it's eternal, it's permanent. And there's deep beauty and satisfaction. And our hearts naturally go in the direction that of our delight, our pleasures, our treasures. Listen to what Matthew, Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And listen to this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart naturally gravitates toward that which you delight in the most. That which you see as treasure, reward, that which you count as valuable. Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart goes. And then he continues in that Sermon on the Mount. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. He likens the eye to the lamp of the body. And if it's working properly, it allows light to come in, and then you can see clearly. If it's not working properly, you'll be filled with darkness. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. It will change and inform your worldview, how you see things, if it's working properly. If it's not, it's still going to have an effect on you, and you'll be full of darkness. There is an eye that's informed by the Word of God that helps us to see God for who He is and all that He's done and what our response should look like in accordance with that. But there is an eye that may not see clearly. And then notice, he goes from our affections to where your treasure is, that's where your heart goes, to our eye, that which informs our way of thinking, to that which captivates us. In verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You can't straddle the fence. That which you find to be most valuable, that which is great reward, treasure, delight, you're going to serve it. It's either God or a God replacement. One will give you real happiness. The other, it's fleeting. It's passing away. But Jesus here is saying, you're going to serve one of them. And the one you'll serve is the one that delights you the most. And so, we see in Psalm 1, the truly happy one is the one who finds their delight in Him, in His Word, and they meditate on it day and night. Where does your mind go in your discretionary moments? You know, your 5, 10, 15 minute drive to work? When you first get up in the morning? When you lay your head down on your pillow at night? Does your mind go to the things of God? See, Jesus is saying, your mind naturally goes toward that which gives great pleasure, delight. I remember when I first met Denise, and she still has that effect on me today. One, just that any woman would be interested in me, but aside from that, I couldn't help but think about her. Your mind naturally goes toward that which gives you pleasure, delight. Now notice where the psalmist goes in verse 3. He likens the one who finds their delight in God and in God's word to one who's, he's like a tree, firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. It's like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. The roots go down deep, and it's drawing from that source. That's what he likens it to. When you and I delight in God and in God's word, we're drawing from that. And here's what the psalmist says. It produces three things: fruitfulness, durability, and prosperity. And that will be the three points of the sermon when I get to the points of the sermon. It will produce those three things. But he's talking about it being like a tree. The roots go down deep and it receives its nourishment, its refreshment. It's what gives it life and fruitfulness. It's what's going to help it endure great difficulty. And it's what will cause prosperity. The man who delights in God and in God's word will be just like that tree. Verse 4, that's not the case with the wicked. Remember, there's two kinds of people in this psalm, two pathways, and two entirely different destinations. The wicked, they are not so. They're like chaff which the wind drives away. Chaff. The wind just takes it away. They may think they're in control. The wind just carries it away. There's no substance there, no fruitfulness, nothing that endures. There's no prosperity. It's like chaff. And yet many people live all their life thinking that that's where they're going to find happiness. And the psalmist is saying they will not. Matter of fact, he's going to go on to say that their destination doesn't end well. And that's his argument here. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for they're going to perish. Their end is destruction. Their eternal destination is a destination of damnation. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, to be sure, we need to understand when he's talking about the righteous. He's talking about a righteousness that's not your own righteousness. It's a righteousness that you receive from God. An imputed righteousness. A righteousness that not your own. If you think about it, Psalm 1 is the very first psalm to this whole book of Psalms. So Psalm 1 and 2, it's the introduction to the book. There's five books within the Psalms, and he's going to tell you that there is a way to a happy life. And in this, you're going to find out that there is one who was forsaken for you. Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You're going to see many of the messianic psalms. You're going to see Christ as a savior, as a shepherd in Psalm 23, one who satisfies your deepest longings. So throughout the book of Psalms, when it's talking about the righteous person, it's talking about the righteous one who receives righteousness from God. Now, to be sure, there is going to be a desire for us to live righteous lives. We're going to see sin for what it is, and we're going to see Christ for who He is. But the righteous here isn't the person who's perfect in and of themselves. It's one who finds their righteousness in Christ alone. Are you trusting in your own righteousness today? Or have you turned and trusted the one who gives you His righteousness? Well, let's look at this psalm. There's 3 points. And so the thesis or the 3 points would be, if you delight in the Word of God and meditate on it day and night, you will be fruitful, durable, and prosperous. You will be fruitful, durable, and prosperous. Let's look at the idea of fruitful. Verse 3, he says, He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. They're fruitful. They're refreshing. They're nourishing. When you come across a person like this, that delights in God and God's Word, they meditate on it day and night, you're strengthened after you've been with somebody like that. You're nourished. You're fed. You can eat of that fruit. Their mouth is like a fountain of life. You want to be around somebody like that. And you want to be somebody like that, right? We all know those who aren't fruitful. Actually, they kind of drain you, right? And you look for every reason not to be around them. I hope that's not you. I hope you're fruitful. That as people spend time with you, they walk away fed, nourished, edified, strengthened. Their lives are truly nourished. See, when you and I meditate on God's Word, we delight in doing so, and we meditate on it day and night, we will be fruitful. We'll also be durable. Notice in verse 3 he also says that, and its leaf does not wither. I don't know what 2020 holds for you, but you might find yourself in the midst of a drought. Those hot winds can start blowing. You might find yourself in great adversity, loss of a loved one. Right now, you might see yourself in prosperity, and yet maybe the economy isn't so good in 2020. Here's what the promise of this psalm, he says, the one who delights in God and God's Word, meditates on it day and night, they will be fruitful, but they'll also be durable. You will be durable because your roots go deep and they're deeply satisfied by Him. So even if 2020 brings about a chronic illness or an acute illness or some tragic accident, you will endure because you find in Him the source of your true delight. You will be durable. You're not like the wicked that are like chaff which the wind drives away. No, you're durable. And notice the third thing he says. If you delight in the Word of God and meditate on it day and night, you will be prosperous. And he says prosperous in everything. You know, when I was working on this message, you know, to be sure, when you do read God's Word and meditate on it and ponder it, it keeps you out of all kinds of trouble. You know, I don't have any venereal disease. If you follow God's Word, it'll keep you out of all kinds of trouble. You know, there is a way to handle finances. There's a way that you would conduct yourself in this world that will make you prosperous. But I think he's saying more than just that. I think there is a kind of prosperity that would kind of go like this. We understand from scriptures that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. There is a kind of prosperity that even in the midst of adversity or affliction or tragedy, that we could still prosper. Think of Romans 8:28. I would cheat off the screen, but I can't see back that far. 8:28, and it's a passage you're all familiar with. And we know that God causes all things, to work together for good to those who love God. They delight in Him. He's their great treasure and reward. To those who are called according to His purpose. You will prosper in all things, even the bad things in life will be your source of prosperity. It'll all work out together for your good and for His glory. So if you delight in the Word of God and meditate on it day and night, you will be fruitful, you will be durable, you will be prosperous. I'm almost done. Two ideas. What keeps us from meditating on God's Word? Why do we see it as drudgery? Maybe it's because many times in our discretionary time, we look elsewhere. We have to pop on the radio, cell phones, iPads. We're bombarded. I think for many of us, we don't take time to drink deeply, consider, think, feel, know, to be moved by who He is and all that He's done. Even good things. I find myself at times on iPads and I can listen to sermon after sermon and there's no depth to it. After a while, it's just like a lot of words going. Sometimes we just need to stop, slow down, think deeply. Who is God? What has He done for me? What should my response be? Drink deeply. I think many times we're so consumed by all the different electronic devices. That's a possibility. And I'm going to leave us with two more thoughts. The idea of meditation. In order for you and I to meditate on God's Word, what must take place? Why do we challenge people to commit scriptures to memory? You can only meditate on something that you have stored away. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. You have to store His word away in your heart in order to meditate, right? To think deeply, to contemplate, to consider who He is and all that He's done. That's why we memorize Scripture. You know, it was one of the most interesting and probably revolutionary things in my life. When I first became a Christian, I knew that these are the things I'm supposed to do because I was told to. You got to pray. You got to read God's Word. You got to memorize some of them. Much as you can. Why? To what end? Because I want to know my God. I want to enjoy Him. Why is it that I go to God's Word? So I can have a word for my wife? Wives, submit to your husband? It's a good one at times, but that's not why I go there. As a matter of fact, it might not lead to fruitfulness, right? It could lead to other things. Why do I primarily go to God's Word? I need to be nourished. I need those roots to go deep down in and to find its great satisfaction in Him. Why do I memorize God's Word? Is just out of discipline so I can feel better about myself? I want to know Him. I want to enjoy Him. Amen. Why is it that I pray? I want to commune with Him. I mean, we read about the blessed life, the one who gets to see His countenance, that He smiles, His light. I want to know Him. The disciplines of the faith really just put us in a place whereby we can enjoy Him and know Him. Why do I meditate on God's Word? Why have I memorized much of it or tried to memorize much of it? Because I want those discretionary times in my thinking to go toward Him. And it is a practice you can do throughout the day, to be sure. That little drive to work, that little walk in the park, that time when somebody's annoying you, is not life more than this? You know, there are things you can do with God's Word that... And so, my challenge to you today is it's really hard to meditate on something that you haven't committed to memory. So go through God's Word. Commit much of it to memory. Start thinking about it. Think deeply. And here's what the psalmist says. If you delight in the Word of God and meditate on it day and night, you will be fruitful, durable, and prosperous. You will have a happy new year. And matter of fact, verse 6, you'll have a happy eternity. So you have your best life now and throughout all eternity. And it's really found in Him. Amen? Well, let us pray. Father, again, we thank You for Your Word. It directs our hearts and minds to You. May You stir in us great affections, deep affections. For where our treasure is, that's where our hearts will be also. So may we delight in You. May we taste and see that You are good. May we see and savor Christ and know the length and breadth and depth and height of His great love toward us. That we would be filled to overflowing with the fullness of God, being satisfied in Him and in Him alone. We really do want to be happy, both now and throughout all eternity. And the source of that happiness is found in You and in Your Word. May it help inform our affections, our thinking. May the eye truly work rightly. And even that which captivates us, that which we become enslaved to. And it's in Christ's great name we pray. Amen.
Stand, we're going to sing together. He will hold me back.